so many questions, I'm not as much afraid of the virus itself as I am all the uncertainty that surrounds it. So many different questions, so many different areas of our life and areas of our country that it affects.
Amen.
And in thinking about those type of things, how do we combat that spiritually? How do we combat that uncertainty? How do we take the Word of God and the instructions in the Word of God, and how do we apply those things? Did you know that you don't have to be at church? You know, I think we often associate those two things together. I can only be filled with the Spirit when I'm at church.
Yeah.
How many of you think that? Or have thought that in the past? I'm raising my hand because I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of thinking I can only be in the Spirit when I'm at the house of the God, gathered with the saints, and God is manifesting His presence there in the Lord's house. And sometimes I think that we might get caught up thinking, I can only be filled with the Spirit while I'm engaged in the worship service in a formal gathering or a formal New Testament worship service. I want to read you a few scriptures here from Ephesians chapter 5 that not only tells us some things that we can be doing, but that we can be, I want to encourage you that you can be filled with the Spirit Monday through Saturday.
Amen.
And this passage tells us, gives us some instructions, because it is a lot of ideas, different ideas. I know every single Christian here, every single disciple of Christ, would raise their hand if I just took a poll and gave the general question. How many of you want to be filled with the Spirit? I hope every single one of
Amen.
Us would raise our hand. I want to be filled with the Spirit as much
That's
as possible.
Right.
However, when it comes down to actually, how do I do that? How do I be filled with the Spirit? It's not a light switch that we can just turn on and off.
Right.
So how do I be filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what this passage tells us. It's at least one place in the New Testament where it not only tells us to be filled with the Spirit, but the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us what are some things we can do tangibly and physically in our lives, and it gets down to where the rubber meets the road. Because sometimes that statement, I'm sorry, the wind lost my page there. Sometimes the just that phrase, be filled with the Spirit, is so ambiguous, it's so vague, it's so abstract. That I don't know how to do it, right? How do I be filled with the Spirit? Seems like I just come to church and I ask God to, you know, like the song says, hover over me, Holy Spirit, fill me now. And we think, Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit. We come to church and we experience the Spirit and we go home. And I'm afraid that that's the end of it.
Right.
That we stopped with being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, I'll start reading in verse 14, for lack of a better place to start, starting in the middle of the chapter. Ephesians 5 and 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means, you know, circumspectly, that's the same word we get our word circumference from. What's circumference? It's the distance all the way around a circle, right? Measuring the distance around a circle. That means 360 degrees. Circumspectly means don't have tunnel vision.
Right. Amen.
That means have your head on a swivel, spiritually speaking. Now, naturally speaking, we need to, especially when we drive, we need to be circumspect, don't we? We need to be looking to the left, looking to the right, looking in our rear view. Have a constant awareness of our surroundings.
Right.
Amen.
Apply that spiritually here. What should we be doing when we're living in times like this, uncertain times and scary times, fearful times? We should be walking circumspectly. We should have our spiritual head on a swivel so that we can be aware of the wiles of the devil, be aware of what's going on around
Amen.
Us, and remind ourselves that God's still on His throne.
Amen.
He hasn't lost a bit of His power.
That's right.
No matter what happens down here, God is still on His throne. He's still in control. And God knows the end of this coronavirus thing. He knows, He's declared the end from the beginning. He knows how it's all going to work
Amen.
Out. We just need to trust in Him.
Amen.
That's part of walking circumspectly, I think. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. I don't know about you, but that's a convicting statement to me. Basically what this passage is strongly implying is that if you're not walking circumspectly, what are you?
A fool.
You're acting like a fool. Now, I didn't say that. The Word of God said that.
Right.
So we're just kind of acknowledging what the Word of God is saying and the logical implications of it. It says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So if you are working in contrast to being foolish, what's the opposite of being a fool?
Wise.
Being wise. being a wise person, being having wisdom about you. God says it's wise and not foolish to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Because be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is our statement. Now, it was when I preached through this at Raleigh Church in Memphis, it was strange to me that he's talking about awake from sleep, awake from the dead, arise from the dead, awake thou that sleepest. And he's talking about walking circumspectly, redeeming the time. He's given us a lot of practical instructions,
right,
practical admonitions about how we should live our life every day.
Amen.
In service to the Lord. And then all of a sudden he says, oh yeah, by the way, don't drink a lot of wine. It just doesn't seem to fit, does it? It's like, why would he say that right here? I asked myself that question. Why would he talk about don't be drunk with wine right where it appears here in this context? And then it dawned on me that what is it that when we drink too much wine or too much of any alcoholic beverage, what is it that alcohol does to us? Alcohol impairs our judgment, does it not?
Amen.
If you drink too much of it, it will impair your judgment. And the more of it you drink, the more impaired your judgment will be. So think about that spiritually. Now, I do think Paul is literally talking about don't drink too much wine, because not only will that impair your judgment naturally, that will also impair your judgment spiritually. You won't be thinking clearly, whether natural or spiritual. And this says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think applying that spiritually, when we are drunk with wine, naturally speaking, we're drunk with wine, it impairs our judgment. When we are too caught up in the things of the world, that's the equivalent of being too drunk with wine.
Amen.
Because it clouds,
right,
our spiritual judgment,
right,
it clouds our spiritual mindset, it clouds our spiritual perception of what's going on. What has been your perception this whole time this coronavirus thing has been going on? How have you been perceiving it? How have you been looking at it? What's been your philosophy about it, your way of looking at it? I hope it's been with a spiritual mindset, one that's,
right,
not been too clouded with the things of the world, but,
amen,
one that's focused on God and focused on His will and being filled with His Spirit. That's what I think this is talking about. And then right after he says, be filled with the Spirit, aren't you thankful he didn't put a period there? I'm thankful that statement ends with a semicolon and not a period. Because why? Because if you're anything like me, I don't know how to be filled with the Spirit. How do I actually sit down at home and, okay, I want to be filled with the Spirit, but then I struggle to know how to do that.
Yeah.
How do I actually do that, get that done? The Apostle Paul then, after the semicolon, tells us some things that I can do and some things that you can do,
amen,
to be filled with the Spirit, not just a Sunday morning at church, but 24/7. If you apply the Scripture, it is a way that you can get out of the flesh and into the Spirit. How can I be filled with the Spirit? Paul's going to tell us. He's going to give us three main things that we can do. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times and I don't fault us for doing this, Brother Paul and any other ministers here, I don't fault us as Primitive Baptists for doing this, but this is one of our main proof texts, if you will, for the New Testament song service, that we should be, you know, singing a cappella style, and we should be singing in the New Testament church. But I don't want us to limit
amen,
limit this verse to that. Why? Because it says not singing to yourselves, but what?
Speaking
to yourselves. You know, kind of, we joke about in our just our everyday living and everyday society, kind of joke about when, you know, oh, I talk to myself all the time, right? This is literally telling you to speak to yourself. Is it not?
Amen.
That's what it's saying. It says speak to yourselves. You need to talk to yourself.
Right.
I know that sounds crazy at first to the natural mind, but this is talking about in a spiritual way. When you're at home having a bad day on Monday morning, oh, I got to go back to work. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen with coronavirus today. I don't know this or I don't know that. And all that uncertainty starts to come around you. Just speak to yourself.
Right.
Speak to yourself in spiritual... Well, what does it say?
Psalms.
Speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's something that you can do. That Paul says here, you want to know how to be filled with the Spirit? Start doing this right here.
Right.
On a daily basis, on an hourly basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. You'll be amazed at what you... at how much more spiritual your mind will be if you will apply this. This is something that we can do with without this? You know, we think about singing as, right. Oh, I can't sing without a songbook. Got to be at church and have my songbook to know the songs to sing.
No.
You can speak to yourself in Psalms. By the way, you've got a whole collection of Psalms in the Old Testament that you can read. Those are all Psalms. They're spiritual prayers set to music. David wrote all these Psalms, or wrote most of the Psalms. He didn't write all of them. But David wrote the Psalms. Psalms are just different types of prayers set to music.
Right.
And so that's all really these are, is doctrinal truths and prayers and different spiritual sayings set to music. We need to think about the truth of the doctrine, the truths of these songs that we sing on a daily basis. Think about them and apply them in our everyday lives. And if we'll just, if you're having a bad day, start to cheer yourself up with the Word of God, with the songs that we sing,
amen,
with spiritual things. You'll be amazed how it transforms your day. Especially in the midst of everything that's going on right now. But this is something that every single child of God can do. Not just preachers. This is not limited to preachers. Thank
right.
God for
amen.
That. Anybody can do this that is born again of the Holy Spirit and has a spiritual mind to do it. Anybody can apply this. That's what's awesome about this. Anybody can do it. Literally anybody. You can sit at home
right.
and think about Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, or think about any of the songs in our songbook. Just start thinking about the lyrics, thinking about the words, thinking about the grace of God in your life. The next thing you know, you'll be in such a spiritual state, you've forgotten everything you were depressed about
right.
and having a bad day about just a few minutes ago.
Amen.
This is telling us how to be filled with the Spirit. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then the next thing he says is giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing that you can do to be filled with the Spirit. One is speak to yourselves in songs and hymns and all those things. But also, I've been amazed at the times in my life where when I've been depressed about something or discouraged about something, that if I just sat down, stopped, and kind of did like Moses said in the Old Testament, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
That's a good thing to practice every day. Just when everything gets busy around you, starts overwhelming you, just stop. Literally just stop and stand still and say, look at how God has blessed me in my life. Look at all the salvations He has blessed me with in my life. All the grace He's blessed me with. And just start counting your blessings. And you'll be amazed and give God, the more thankful you are, the more content you'll find yourself to be.
Right.
I think there's a direct link, a direct correlation between thankfulness
amen.
And contentment.
Yes, sir.
If you're not content with something in your life, that probably is because you're not thankful enough for other things in your life.
Right.
See how that works?
Amen.
So for time's sake, I'll move on. So one is speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Number two is giving thanks unto God for all things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the third thing he says in verse 21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God.
Yeah.
That's basically serving, make a point to do something for somebody else. Serve somebody else in the fear of God, in the name of God, whether that's your spouse, whether that's a family member, whether that's a friend, whether that's a neighbor, whether that's somebody that's a stranger that you come in contact with on a daily basis. Do something to serve somebody else, and in doing so, God will bless you to be served.
Yeah.
To be served with that feeling of His grace upon you and His pleasing, His look of approval upon you. Sorry, Brother Paul, I was just going to open. I didn't mean to take too much time.
You opened.
These are some things that have been on my mind. And
you opened it up.
I hope that you will take these things, and I hope they'll be a blessing to your life as much as they've been to mine. I'm a work in progress, as you all know. I'm trying to apply them more every day, and I fall short at it. But nevertheless, the Word of God standeth sure, right?
Amen.
God has told us what to do, and if we're not filled with the Spirit, whose fault is it?
Amen.
Right.
He's told us to be filled with the Spirit, and then He's told us how to be filled with the Spirit, and now it's up to us to do it.
Right.
So let's do it. Let's put the Word of God into practice. And I'm telling you, all the uncertainty around this situation we're in, this crisis we're in, this pandemic we're in, will all just kind of melt away if we're able to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, give God thanks for what we do have instead of focusing on all the bad things that are happening. And then number three, instead of, you know, it's been the times of my life where I've been at my lowest. I've been having a pity party on myself, or a self-pity party. It's because I'm looking too much at myself and not focusing on serving other people. That's what he means by submitting yourselves unto one another in the fear of God. If you're depressed about something, it's probably because you're focused too much on self.
Right.
Go ahead and try to find somebody to help. Find somebody
Amen.
To serve, and you won't be so focused on self. Your depression will just go away. It'll be, your discouragement will go away because you're focused on helping
right.
someone else and doing being about the Lord's business and His will. Thank you for your real good attention. I probably didn't leave Brother Paul any time at all, did I?
You offer prayer.
I'll call him Brother Henry, that's right.